Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:24, that specific summertime, and today is September 6th. And today really was a big day for the precious metals. We had a really quite a deep short-term oversold condition last week, and we saw that they were starting to find support in the region of the moving average and the trend mean. But today we saw some very, very clear upper dynamics, which represent follow-through on the firming that we had last week. So silver was up nearly 80 cents, up 76. Palladium up $25, platinum up $39, and gold up 22. And it was also a very good day for the gold shares, which at this stage represent leverage to the gold price for really the first time in almost 10 years. Well, and I've discussed why in previous audios, but this is all tied to the fact that the dollar was weak. When we look around the world, then the commodity currencies in particular were firm. So the Australian dollar up a cent, the New Zealand dollar pushed on to a new high, the Canadian dollar was also firm in here today. Then the Russian ruble, the South African rand are finding support in the region of their respective trend means. And they had accelerated to lows at the end of last year, and they've been appreciating for much of this year. And a lot of this is tied to the fact that you had disappointing number of hours worked and wage demand growth figures coming out of the US last week, and that traders are pricing out the possibility that there's going to be a rate hike in the next few weeks, and that has put downward pressure on the dollar. So the pound today was stronger by a cent and a quarter, and the euro is up to 1.125. So there is pretty broad-based dollar weakness, and against the yen. The yen was stronger by over a full yen, and certainly there isn't many people in Japan want to see it stronger than 100 to the dollar. And I suspect it's going to be a pretty eventful month for the dollar yen, because the Japanese are waiting to see what the Fed are going to do, and in the absence of any action by the Fed, they may be forced to act on their own. This is going to be a rather interesting juncture, and not least because the Nikkei is trading in the round 17,000 area. That represents the progression of lower rally highs and the region of the 200-day moving average, and it closed above that level yesterday and again in here today. But we could see it trading below it tomorrow when you have this strength in the yen. And I think it's perhaps more correct to say weakness in the dollar, because we had some moves in the commodity markets that were not strictly limited to the precious metals. The industrial metals were also a little bit firmer in here today. And in the livestock sector, there are quite deep short-term oversold conditions evident. So there is potential for at least some respite in selling pressure to start to come in there. Coffee prices continue to push higher in here, and the grains and beans are really quite oversold, and we've had contract changes there, so there is the potential for some upside as well, and all of those will get an additional tailwind if the dollar continues to weaken from here. In the government bond markets, US treasuries were stronger by over a full point, bunds by 0.75 points, gilts by about 0.5 points. And this is a rather interesting point now for the 10-year yield in the US, because it moved to a new low, which is a new high in prices, about 2 months ago. And it's been engaged in a reversionary process since, which has unwound the overbought condition in prices, and it's allowed the yield to push back above the 1.5% level. But that's unwound much of the overextension relative to the trend mean, and this move that we've seen today is now pressuring the progression of higher reaction lows on the yield. And follow through tomorrow would break that progression. And it would open up the door to a retest of the low and potentially even a new low. Because while it has been the case for the last 2 months that government bond prices were engaged in a process of mean reversion, it's looking increasingly likely that having unwound the vast majority of that overextended position, that there is now scope for additional compression in yields, and not least because investors are quickly concluding that there isn't going to be a Fed rate hike in September. And since we are in the countdown now for the last 6 or 7 weeks of the U.S. presidential election, and I don't think anyone is under any illusion that the Fed is politically motivated, that they're not going to want to upset the apple cart and be accused of trying to influence the presidential outcome. So it's very unlikely they're going to act in October. And then because you have this weakness in the dollar, that has lent something of a tailwind to Wall Street. So the S&P 500 was up about 0.33%. But because you have a stronger pound and a stronger euro, that acted as something of a tailwind for the eurozone and the UK. So the majority of indices in there were down in here today. They have rallied rather impressively over the last 10 sessions, so they're due a little bit of consolidation, and the extent to which their respective currencies rally is likely to be an arbiter. And the next week will be rather instructive, because the pound has not held anywhere close to 135 since the Brexit vote. The euro hasn't been able to sustain a move above 115 for over a year, and they're both pretty close to those levels. And I don't suspect there's anybody in Frankfurt wants to see a strong euro, or anyone in Whitehall wants to see a strong pound. That's likely to represent some areas of resistance for their respective currencies. But when we look a little bit wider, and most particularly at Asia, then this was a positive day for China. The CSI 300 was up about 0.7%, and bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average, the Hang Seng continues to advance. And obviously, because they've got U.S. interest rates, they're not going to be forced to raise interest rates anytime soon. At least that's what the market is pricing in. So the Hang Seng was additionally firm in here today, and the H shares continue to rebound and have broken a medium-term downtrend and are trading back above the 200-day moving average, and in fact, pulling away from that trend mean. It's also been a very positive day for India, and it's not just India. It's really the entire Asian region. Really, the Indonesian market was also firm in here today. The two that were not firm were both Thailand and the Philippines. Certainly the Philippines responding to Duterte's foot-in-mouth episode, insulting Obama, and Obama then cancelling his trip to the Philippines as a result, has not done the Philippine stock market any favours. But the new central banker in Bombay, or at least in India, is being greeted with a market that is closing at a new recovery high. And it's been led higher by the banking sector. And the banking sector has been a reliable lead indicator for India overall. And Indian government bonds are very much the flavor of the time, because they have compressed now to about 7%. Short-term interest rates are 6.5%. So in a world where you have the prospect of negative interest rates and compressing sovereign bond yields, then India represents a rather attractive prospect for fixed income investors. So there is the prospect that the 10-year is going to compress beyond that 7% level, which had been an area of resistance in 2013. Then if we just take a very broad step back and look at where we are, this has been a rather inert environment overall on Wall Street. But when you look at some of those emerging market currencies and the fact that you're getting foreign investors that are being pushed out of their comfort zones into more, I guess, what they would consider risky investments, because you have these low interest rates and looking increasingly likely that we're going to get additional compression in those government bond yields, and then you simply have to go off and find somewhere else if you're an international money manager to get that income, get that potential for capital appreciation, and indeed the potential that you're going to get a higher yield. So that really does play very well for the emerging markets, and China, which really was a worry for last year, does look like it is now on a recovery trajectory. And that 8-share index has got an historic PE of 8.5. The yield isn't quite as high as it was just a few months ago, but of course that's because prices have gone up, but it's still over 2%. So there is the potential that we're going to get emerging markets doing a bit better than the major developed markets. And I guess the one thing to be aware of is that the S&P and the Dow and the NASDAQ have been very inert, and that inert condition doesn't last indefinitely. So they could break either direction. It's still looking likely that they will resume their upward trends overall, because we're in a medium-term bull market environment. But the really big canary in the coal mine would be if they were breaking below their respective 200-day moving averages. But there is absolutely no evidence of that just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.